Ladies and gentlemen, may I direct your attention to something quite extraordinary?
Chris, the Herons are back. And we got messy.
What's going on? What? Where is the information?
I guess we're getting ready for a sister kissing fiesta.
I felt like we were playing a 2-8. It was just a 2-8.
Let me tell you, Danny is about to get destroyed in the chat. So you
are we kissing sisters, Chris?
And maybe stepsisters, but not regular sisters. I've done a little bit of research on him. When it comes to FIFA, this guy's 68.
We're going to have the greatest player of all time on the team. If there's a time to believe, it's now.
It looks like a heron shat all over it. So you guys are literally getting excited for a rank 65 player on FIFA 23. We got some pretty good FIFA cards on our squad now.
You gotta understand, Kevintro. This is how we scout our players here on the show.
Just look at FIFA cards.
No question about it. I am ready to get hurt again.
Danny is nowhere to be found. Welcome to another episode of the Battered Herons podcast. I am your host, Chris, and alongside me is typically Danny, but as you guys can tell, he's not there on the side of me. So I'm going to be riding solo for this episode to go ahead and preview the NYCFC game on Saturday. And for those of you that are worried about Danny, everything is okay. He's just taking a little bit of hiatus. Guys, screen time, you got to bring that shit down, guys. I mean, unless you're watching us. Okay, if you're watching us, it's all good. But, you know, everything is okay with Danny. Danny wishes he could be here. But at the moment, we're just going to rock and roll. Vice City Lucas, of course, the Herons are back. Mitch, what are you old brothering about, bro? What's going on? Like, you're already coming out the box like that? Like, come on. Mr. Krabs, yes, the Herons are back. And we're not just back. We're back on a Wu-Tang Wednesday, guys. Like, are you serious? Stop playing with me. Come on, guys. Come on. Well, guys, again, and hello to Soccer Daddy. What's going on? And look, I don't know what's going on, Lucas. You know, I guess now everybody's happy because Danny, the Messi hater, is gone, even though he really doesn't hate Messi. But I guess that's the way that everything is portrayed with him. So enough of that spring cleaning, guys. We're here again to go ahead and preview the game against NYCFC. And usually, as you guys know, we always have a guest to get on with us to go ahead and preview NYCFC. So we went ahead and got in touch with Yusuf. I'm going to go ahead and add him on here. He's going to take Danny's place. And so Yusuf, he's from the NYCFC Forever podcast. Yusuf, how's it going, man?
What's good, everybody? Thank you for having me on, man. This is fun.
Much appreciated. And so we're going to go ahead and talk a little bit about the game that's coming up, a little bit about you know, how you guys have been doing. We already got people coming out like crazy. Soccer Daddy saying NYCFC sucks.
You got that star though.
Yes, Mr. Krabs saw my cat's tail. Yes, I got a cat. Guys, it's not the kind of pet I really want. I really want a dog, but I mean, it is what it is. Mr. Krabs is mentioning Danny ain't here, but he's a Yankees fan. The other teams that play in the NYC, yeah, of course. And then you know that the Knicks are going to give the Heat the business this coming Tuesday, guys. Like,
it's over for ya.
It's crazy. It's crazy. For those of you that are Miami Heat fans, like, come on. Get out of here. Nah. All right. So I wanted to talk with you, Yusuf, a little bit about the matchup that's coming up. But before we talk about the matchup that's coming up, mm-hmm. I want to kind of talk about what's been going on with the whole new stadium thing, because that's something that I know that you guys have been sort of clamoring for, and a lot of people criticized you know, NYCFC because they were playing in a lot of different, you know,
with nomads.
Yeah, and you know, you guys are playing in a ballpark right now, so but the good news is that you guys are finally going to be getting a stadium. It's going to be out in the borough of Queens. And What's sort of the deal behind that, and how does the fan base feel about it?
Oh, I mean, sheesh. We're going on now 10 years plus waiting for a stadium. So, you can only imagine how we feel. We finally have the light at the end of the tunnel, all the cliches you want to say. Like, it's finally a place that we don't ever have to think about, oh shit, you know, where are we going to play next week? Because it was like that for a while. Like, yeah. Sometimes we didn't, especially during baseball season, Yankees got a rain out and they don't want to switch that field. Now we're trying to find Hartford in Connecticut. We're playing at Rebel Arena. We're playing over here. Yeah. But everybody's excited. I mean, there's only one feeling to have is excitement. We're finally getting a home. The renderings look crazy. I think it's probably going to be one of, if not the best stadium in the league when it opens up. There's nothing bad about it. I mean, politics aside from the city, but overall, we can't wait. We literally are counting down the days to 2027. Hopefully it comes in early at 26, right after the World Cup. It's excited. It's Queens, so the world's borough.
Well, and that's another thing. Like, a lot of people don't consider that like New York City, but like, it's still within New York City.
You're not from New York if you don't consider that New York City.
Well, and that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, you know, it's still within the city. You know, people go to Queens all the time. Yeah, and so at the end of the day, it's going to be beautiful. I mean, it's like you said, the renderings look gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's going to be a brand new state-of-the-art facility. So
yeah, I don't know about the people saying that's not the city. Like, Mets are literally across the street. Arthur Ashe is across the street. So it's the city. It's the city. Flushing is literally just right there. So you're not in Long Island. I think people confuse Manhattan with like the city and everything else is just the outer boroughs.
Exactly.
No, city is five boroughs. That's also unfortunately includes Staten Island. But
yes,
it's city proper. And that's the thing too. You know, like we were getting into that space of people thinking it might not be in the city. And the fan base was hard. Like, we would rather play in baseball stadiums for the rest of our existence if it meant we're staying in the city. We are not playing outside of the five boroughs. It's just not happening. It was a hard line from all supporters groups, every stupid forum thing that they want to send us.
Yeah.
Five boroughs. Anything outside of that, null and void.
Well, and that's one thing that we kind of caught off the vibe in terms of like the supporters going out to the games. Like, even though it's, you know, 20 minutes away to go to Rebel Stadium, like it was still seen as like a mission to be able to go do that. And it's something that I know that you guys didn't really want to do.
No. And I think, I don't know how it is for you guys over there, because I know the stadium over there is technically Fort Lauderdale and all that extra jazz.
Yeah.
It's like if you live in, I think, I don't know what would be anywhere around the panhandle, but it's like if your stadium would be on the other side of the border, you know?
Of course.
So you're not going to cross into Georgia to go for an Inter Miami game. You're not going to cross into Alabama.
It's wild.
For an Inter Miami. Yeah. You know, it doesn't make sense to you. And on top of, sometimes it may take like 20 minutes from Midtown to RBA. That's the thing people don't remember. It's from Midtown.
Exactly.
It's 20 minutes.
Yeah.
No one lives in Midtown. You live in
Midtown.
In
it's on boroughs. The outer boroughs. Yeah.
Just, I was telling you beforehand, we, you know, us, my co-host and I, we went to the Italy-Ecuador match at RBA on Sunday after the match. It took us 2 hours to get home. And that's driving. Yeah. So it's just, you can get there, but the mission, you have to still get back to the city. It's like, and also there's a big, you know, the disconnect between Jersey, like Jersey, New York, like it's, you know, that's done
very big
for us. Yeah, it's just,
yeah,
the divide is very serious.
Well, and let me tell you, a lot of people, really are starting to say things like this. If Neymar were to go to MLS, I could see him go to NYCFC. What do you think about that? That's a good question.
We saw that. So it's a conversation that's happened. I think Neymar now, no. Neymar maybe like, right before he said he was going to Saudi, we would have taken him. But now it's more like he's just injured all the time. Like, we wouldn't want to see him in, I don't know. It's tricky because you want to have him because it's Neymar. It's a name.
Of course.
You're going to fill the house. He's going to razzle dazzle you. But everything that comes with him, it's almost like we've built this team now where it's very young. Players is very youth oriented. We don't really sign or bring anybody over. I think the rule is, and nobody over the age of 25. If it's to develop, and if it's established, you have to be within, like, in the 20s, maybe 30. So Neymar is unfortunately now just outside of that. So, but would I love him?
Yeah,
see him. Yeah, it's be fun, you know. But
well,
I saw him talking to Busquets at the Heat game.
Well, one thing that you would get. Oh yeah, well that's another thing that people are talking about, and that's where you might see where NYCFC gets like that little push, kind of like what Inter Miami got with Messi, because at the end of the day, like you said, Neymar's a name. So it's going to bring in a ton of people that aren't typical, like, local diehard fans. You're going to get a lot of the people that have been following Neymar from, like, ever since, you know, years and years ago, just because they want to follow him. So,
like the Messi fans?
I could see something like, yes. Yeah. It's been a different vibe for sure. I mean, it's been more welcoming recently. It's been more welcoming recently, but for the most part, you could tell that it's a little different. Yeah. Now, one thing I wanted to talk to you about, which we covered a little bit when we were talking before the podcast, is 3 years ago, you know, 2-3 years ago, you guys were champs. Yep. And now we're at a point where you guys aren't as favored now. So, like, how's the fan base feeling about some of the progression between then and now?
So one thing that was always it's always floating in our heads, and like older MLS fans would always tell you, is this league is very big. It's kind of like stuck on this 3-year cycle for every team. So like every 3 years, you kind of see this turnover, regardless if you're winning or not. It's every 3 years, it's sort of like a change. It's either pushed upon you by the fans or whatever. And we feel like we're in that right now, because the team that won in 2021, they were with the team already for a couple of years before that. So that was almost like at it when it peaked, we won it. And, you know, everybody on that team, only maybe one player really was from that year. It was Talis who came in. And so after that, what you end up having is you're going to have this downturn. You know, we lost a bunch of players. Like we lost, I think half of our roster was gone within a year of us winning it, right? Our manager just up and left to manage Club Brugge. Well, at that time, Standard Liège, he left abruptly, you know, so we had to then settle that out. Then Tati leaves, we got to then settle that out. So it's almost like we saw it coming. We just didn't think it was going to be this bad. Like, that's where we're surprised. As a fan base, it looked like we still had the pieces to compete. Why are we not competing, you know? On a day, week in, week out, right now, I want to say the fan base is a little frustrated. That's not no bullshit on that. We're frustrated because we see the caliber of team that we have, the skill on paper and on the field. We should be up there with you guys right now. We should be in the top four, top five, you know. We have the players. Right now, we're not finishing our chances, and our manager doesn't like to do subs when he should, you know. It's rough. It's looking rough, but hopefully we see some light, but it's we actually just were on our last episode. We took an L 1-0 against Cincinnati, right? And everybody after the match was like, it wasn't too bad. And it's an L. And that's where we're at as a fan base. Like, we can just keep like bringing ourselves to just take little wins now. Like, if you see little wins, we'll grab them. And well, hopefully we turn it around this year, but it's going to be a long season. Last year was season of vibes. This year is hopefully season of hope.
Well, and you're mentioning those little sort of wins where it's like, well, it's not a loss that we lost 3-0, right? We didn't get destroyed. So it feels like a win, but it's technically a loss. Like, you're going down the bracket. And so that's a perfect transition into my next question, is how has NYCFC looked so far? I mean, everybody knows through the standings, right? You guys have one win. Mm-hmm. You got four losses. But how have you felt, not just from a win-losses ratio, but of the team? I mean, you mentioned a little bit, you got the players. So how do you feel about it now? And I guess, what do you think about it moving forward?
I think just right now, the team looks, we just can't finish. We can't finish. It was just said in the broadcast, was Bakra, who's our main striker right now, he has the most chances without completion in the MLS.
Yeah.
So it's like the service is there. We're getting in the, we're getting the chances. We're just not finishing them. So that's how we look. That's literally how we look. We just look like it's, sometimes it looks messy. Sometimes it looks organized, but it just doesn't feel like it's ever going to amount to anything. So you just, you go in the matches hoping for results, but expecting nothing. And that's how the team is right now. They're, yeah, that's how the team is right now. It's tough. It's a tough place to be. It's a tough place to be because we didn't think, after, especially after last year and the rough year that we had, but we ended it really well. We thought we were going to take that momentum into this year, and it just has not, you know, it just hasn't come to fruition. It is what it is, you know.
And that's got to be the toughest thing to see as a fan base, is that because you see like the potential, you see the kind of players that you have, and you see the potential of this team. Mm-hmm. It's just about putting it all together. And it seems like they just can't be able to kind of muster up enough to be able to be effective, I guess, on the offensive end of the ball, you know?
Yeah. It's also even some, sometimes our defensive stand, like our set piece defending, atrocious, absolutely atrocious. Set piece defending for us is just horrible. And then we have these young wingbacks that some of them are good on defense, but are not good on offense. Some of them are good on offense, but not good on defense. So it's almost like you know, you're constantly playing this. Who do you play? Who do you who do you start? Who do you play in these scenarios? You know, you want Tavon, who's now with Jamaica.
Yeah.
You want him to get minutes because obviously his career is progressing. He's been here for a while. He earned it, but he's an offensive liability. He can't cross the ball. So yes. What do you do? You know, and things like that are where it's almost still like you're still figuring it out.
Yeah.
We're just hoping that by Leagues Cup time, we figured it out.
Oh, absolutely. And I think you guys will, because I mean, I've looked at your team and you guys definitely have the potential to be able to do so. I mean, even without Talis, it's like you still have the potential to be a pretty good contending team. But now, speaking of players like that, you know, especially like on international duty, do you know of who's going to be playing or not playing for you guys this week?
So we picked up injuries at Cincinnati. So Burke Risa, who is our starting center back, he may not play, even though today Christian said that the injury wasn't as severe as they thought, but he might not get minutes.
Okay.
O'Toole, who suffered a concussion, he won't get minutes, but Chris McFarland might start in his place, and he's the guy that England is just up, you know, freaking crazy starry-eyed for at this point. So, another Talis may not have minutes because he's still coming off his lower body injury. Maxi is still healing up. Who else you may not see from the start? Starting, I think that's it on the starter front. And then our youth, but on the starter side, we have a full squad except for O'Toole and Risa.
Yeah. Well. And the good thing is like we just in the last game, we had a ton of people that were missing because of international duty. But I was talking to Danny a little bit earlier, and just for you guys in the chat, it seems like Drake Callender is back. So at least we'll be able to have him back, and we're not going to be having any other, you know, issues with Dos Santos playing. And Lugutu is asking, he didn't look good at all. Lugutu is asking, where's Daniel at? Guys, I mentioned in the beginning, he's just taking a little hiatus. He'll probably be back probably on Saturday, if not on Monday. So expect him to be, you know, to be back. And Soccer Daddy's actually mentioning Talis Magno is a big miss, which I don't think agree.
Yeah, you would be in the minority with that one, because Talis, the problem with Talis is the upside, like the window and the ceiling is so high for him, right? But he just does not improve year in, year out. He's the same player every single year. Last year, they tried to convert him into a center forward. He wasn't having it. He's like, I need to play on the wing. they put him back in the wing and he still was doing the same thing. So he's, I feel like the injury now is giving him a little time to reflect and say, you know what, I gotta become this player that they want me to be in order to move, because he has European dreams. You know, he was supposed to go to Arsenal before he got injured. So, and he was right, supposed to be Neymar 2.0, or you know, every year there's a Neymar 2.0, but he was getting a lot of the he's flashy. He's real flashy with it. So that's where the comparisons came in. But he's magic, yes, but especially the way we've been playing, he wouldn't add or really take away right now.
And that's tough. That's something that's really tough. And I'll tell you, because there was a lot of expectations when it came to Thales Magno, but now I guess just kind of moving forward, and now that we know kind of who's going to play, who's not going to play, what's the typical formation that you guys run? From what I was looking at in a couple of the games, you guys ran a couple of different formations, so I'm not sure what it is that you guys typically run.
The joke amongst everybody is that we don't have an identity. We don't look like anything. If everybody, let's say, quote unquote, perfect scenario, everyone that starts is healthy, we have gone either four at the back or three at the back. Depends on Christian how he feels that day. If we're playing three in the back, you're, for the most part, are going to have Sands come back in as a third center back. He's going to get out of the midfield. Santi is probably either going to play wide where Hans comes in, and he's technically will be your 10, but he really also, they kind of just do this all the time. You play one up top, two wingers, three in the mid, in what's supposed to be this weird, like, this kind of triangle where, like,
it's, yeah.
You really just we unload on one side, really. And then our wingbacks are just up pretty much. So if you see Tavon, then you know he's going more defensive. If you see Ilinic, you're going more offensive. That's where I said that. One is better on offense and defense, and the other one's the vice versa. But essentially that, we're just trying to overload, and then we get hit on the counter all the time. Like, it's just what happens.
Well, and I'll tell you a little bit about, like, our strengths and weaknesses, because it's very similar to us, because we got guys that are playing wingbacks, you know, that they typically push so high that that opens us up to being, you know, opened up to getting countered all the time. And we have wingbacks that are, like, so offensively, I guess, potent, and they suck on defense. So by the time they run back anyway, they suck on defense anyway. You're gonna get destroyed.
I want to ask you guys, because I know it was a money decision at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But having Gressel back there instead of further up, because Gressel, someone who I personally been wanting him on NYC. Since he left Atlanta, or he was technically pushed out of Atlanta. But since I've been wanting him to come, because I love how he plays. I love, I think Gressel is one of the better players in the league. But I don't think he's a right back. I see him further up. Like, how do you feel? Because wouldn't that take away from like another pass, like, and not to jump on the messy thing, but wouldn't that give him another outlet of a pass to have him further up? Because I don't think your center backs are it either.
Well, the problem with him is that he came in as a right wing back, right? Mm-hmm. But what ended up happening is we had Yedlin at the time. Yeah. So Yedlin was playing back there, and he always ran up a little bit anyways. So, I mean, Tata is literally seeing what you see as well. He sees him as more of a midfielder, so he's throwing him up top. Now, when Messi's in, obviously he's not so up top,
no,
right? But then the last couple games, he's been thrown up a little bit higher, and he hasn't been in right back since, like, I'd say 2-3 games ago. I mean, we had David Ruiz, who's a young kid, who plays the midfield position, playing right wing back. Last game, we had Robert Taylor, who is a midfielder or a left wing, playing right wing back.
Yeah,
so Tata's throwing any Joe Schmo at the right wing back position because he doesn't want to put Gressel there anyway. So he's trying to do what he can to keep him in the midfield, because I think he's seeing the same thing that you're seeing, but it's just not that it's not working out, but recently, since Messi's not on the field, he's not able to connect with him. His crosses haven't been as on point as he was maybe, I'd say, the first couple games that he had in the regular season. But defensively, he's a schmuck. Yeah. He sucks on defense. On offense, he's great.
That's not what he does. He's like, I remember when Yellen got traded, the meme that went around was, is that they'll be like, now you're going to learn how to play right back.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like you have no other option. So, I mean, the thing for us is that's good, because if he's not going to play defense on that side, and then when he's coming back up, who's playing on that side? Coming up, hopefully Malachi Jones gets some burn up there. He's actually a draftee, but he's shown really good promise. We have Trapito now. That came from Argentina, from Racing Club. So if he gets in, he's on the left. So we might bring Hannes over to the right. So it's like, there's options there, especially if you guys have a weakness up to, like in the back, especially on the wings, then that might be something that you're going to see us try to exploit for sure.
Well, and you're mentioning a couple of players that we need to worry about. So I imagine that those are the guys that we sort of need to watch out for when it comes to the game on Saturday then.
Julian Fernandez, right? This dude, he's the guy that did the Travella for assist on our win.
Yeah.
His left foot is ridiculous. Like, just absolutely ridiculous. He has pace. He can beat you on a feint. He just needs to get the opportunities, but he's young. Yeah. I'm not saying that he's gonna cook you guys, but if he feels confident and you let him go on that left foot, he's gonna either put a curler in. He's gonna do something. This dude did a Rabona cross last year, just because he wanted to. He has that kind of confidence. Very Argentinian.
Well, that kind of class.
Yeah, he has it. So he's a big, he is like a huge, I mean, he's a young Argentinian. So this dude is, he thinks your guy is his god. So,
But probably born with like a Messi tattoo and everything.
I think he does have one, actually. I think he's one of the ones that has one.
But, I wouldn't be surprised. Everybody that comes out of Argentina, like, that's like a tattoo of Messi, or like you got something of Messi. Like, somebody's got his underwear in their closet.
The thing is that we have, like, for instance, like Santi, who's right now technically, I guess you could say he's our best player.
Yeah.
He's been on the outs with the Uruguayan team. Like, he just never gets a call up. And for reasons that I think are valid.
Yeah.
Suarez is his hero. So it's like, and I think when you guys have when you guys get teams coming to you guys and playing you guys, I think that's the first conversation to have is, are these people going to be fans first or opponents, you know?
Exactly.
Because we saw it last year. People were literally just stuck on the field just watching him move around. And I think with the Ballon d'Or night that we had, I think that's what showed that we don't care. And that's the attitude of NYC is, we don't care. Like, we're going to go spoil your night. Yeah, if it's a celebration, we don't care. But the problem is now it's actually spoiling it. It's the problem. It's like, can you do it?
Yeah, of course. And I guess that's the one thing that I would have to ask in terms of, like, you know, the attention, obviously, like you said, you got Messi and you got a bunch of players that have idolized this guy for many, many years of their life. And, you know, the question is, like you said, are they going to come in as fans or are they going to come in as competitors? And you've had a couple teams like you guys. You've had a couple other teams that have come in. I'm trying to think, and it's kind of blanked out for me. Orlando. They've come in with this mentality of, I don't care who you guys are playing, whether it's with Messi or without Messi, we're here to compete and we're here to destroy you guys. I mean, some teams, they get up even more because of Messi.
You have to.
Yeah.
You have to. You got to play it up. It's like, I mean, it's the LAFC, you know, thing. Like when people played at, you know, LA, like you got up for it because of the crowd. And at that point, Vela was the hottest shit in the league. Like,
yes.
So it is what it is. I just feel like I just want on Saturday for at least us, regardless if he's on the field or not, just to have the young guys just showcase, because we're young. I feel like maybe they're saying all eyes are on this match, you know, put the young guys, because they have the, oh man, there's like a cliche, whatever, but like they have the gift of being naive.
Yeah.
You know, like they're not gonna want to live up to that moment, so they're just gonna play out. So it should be fun. I don't think, honestly, when it comes to players, like, if anybody to watch out for would be Santi, just because if he's on it, he's gonna find spaces. He's gonna not gonna dribble out of you. Hans Wolf, that's the one who you need to definitely watch out for. He will dribble the shit out of that ball. That dude was, I can't believe how we got him. We got him on because he was pretty much injured for the last year, but this dude was playing Bundesliga for Rebel Salzburg. And then he went to Mönchengladbach, but then he fell out of favor, got an injury. Like, this dude was playing Bundesliga, and deservedly so. He was in the Bundesliga. He shows you he's skilled. You can just watch him play, you could tell he's one of the best players on the pitch.
So it sounds like he's sort of a strength. What other weakness or strength do you think that could be picked up from the game?
Oh, managing.
Yeah, for
can
sure.
Can we add the manager to a weakness of a club?
That's Nick a Cushion, wild weakness too.
Nick Cushion needs to go. Yeah, I'll say another weakness will be, especially for you guys, because when Burke Reese is not going to be playing against our center back pairing, because we're probably going to go we're most likely going to go three at the back with Hack and this dude, I'm not going to try to pronounce his name. He's a new signing from Serbia. He has one of those names that's like 1,000 consonants and vowels. But he came in against Cincinnati, and he just did not look up to par. He just looked like a deer in the headlights. I want to say him, he'll be a weakness. Tavon, if he starts on offense, would be a weakness. But strength, Santi, if he's on it, for sure. Julian with pace, for sure. Sands, he will just eat anything up in the midfield. And he's a dog, like he'll put an elbow in. Perea. If Perea's playing and not, Perea's also, and y'all saw him at that Ballon d'Or, what he could do.
Yeah, like, man.
He's the guy that kind of turned it around for us at the end of the last year. We were able to get him from Philly, and he was able to turn it around. When he's on it, he's on it. So, because weakness will be a striker because we can't finish.
Yeah, well, that's the toughest part, right? I mean, you want to put the ball in the back of the net, and then if you don't have any sort of strikers that are going to push the pace in that regard, mm-hmm. it's going to be tough to sort of execute, which I guess brings me over to my next question, a reason that we could be optimistic about the game. I guess one of those things, or maybe if not the main thing, is the fact that you guys haven't been able to sort of muster up enough goals throughout these last couple games. You know, is that something that's sort of lacking where we could be able to be sort of optimistic about that? Like,
hell yeah. I think, I mean, aside from like the star power that you guys hold, I think our lack of finishing is just we can't, obviously you can't win if you don't score. So
yeah,
it is what it is. Like, as simple as that. Like, NYC only good on paper right now. Yeah, we're only good on paper right now. I want to say, that would be the main reason. We just can't score. So if you guys can find yourself, if we find ourselves 1-0, we're down 1-0 in the first half, you guys are going to probably get confident. And if Tata hasn't said anything, but I'm gonna probably assume Messi won't be playing because he's gonna be nursing at this point. Suarez is still Suarez. It seems. I trust me. You can go if you go back to some of the episodes. I was shit talking you guys. Oh man, it was all off season. I'm standing on it because I'm gonna stand on my soapbox. I still say you guys missed the playoffs, and only because of this. The way the schedule is dictated right now, Messi is probably gonna miss a fifth of your matches in the league, and I think taking the DC match away, because I think DC in and of itself is also just overall a weaker team. They just are right now. Benteke just was been scoring recently. I don't think you guys have that midfield linchpin to replace Messi if he's out. And then when your offense has to run through him, pretty much, it stops you from moving that ball. Like, you guys look rough without him. That Red Bull match was rough. I know the elements were part of it, but it looked rough without him there. So I'm going to still say you guys missed the playoff, even though I'm probably going to be proven wrong. But I think you guys will be fine.
I want to mention something because Tank is here saying missed the playoffs and he's putting all these laugh emojis. Guys, I want you guys to understand, like, he's not really talking wrong here. Like, when Messi's off the pitch, you see a little bit of a difference in the midfield, right? I mean, we don't have a Messi to replace a Messi. So it's not like he's talking out of pocket or saying anything that's out of this world. Now, we do have midfielders. Like, I guess Busquets is still considered a midfielder. He can sort of supply here and there.
He's distributing.
He's distributing a little from the back, right? And then you got other guys that can kind of be able to, I don't want to say replicate, but at least make up for a little bit of Messi's, lack of play at that time. But I mean, I do think that missing the playoffs is kind of crazy.
I got shit on it from my co-host. Like, it's my hot take of the season. I'm not a big hot take person.
Well, you got to stand on it. You got to stand on your business now.
I got to stand on that one just because. Just the schedule, like MLS, he hasn't done a full year yet. This is his first year. Imagine going to New England in a cold day on that turf.
He's not playing that game.
I've been on that turf on a freezing day. You don't want to walk and you just slip. You literally are just slipping on that turf. It's horrible to be on that turf when it's cold. It's Gillette, Philly. It's trash. That field is horrible. There's matches, there's away, like, you guys had a crazy
Charlotte,
crazy preseason, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to take your preseason as sort of like a little bubble. All the miles that you guys traveled and all that extra jazz, right?
Yeah.
He ain't playing in New England. So you got to deal with how you play New England without Messi. Him.
Yeah.
Right? And even granted, New England is trash, but it's how can you handle those matches when he doesn't play? And that's because we've seen it in this league where one player can take over a match, but when he's that kind of star and you take him away, then your team cuts off. We had it too with Villa. If Villa missed a match, we pretty much guaranteed an L.
And Mr. Krabs is mentioning it in the chat, when Messi isn't playing, it's almost a guaranteed L. Krabs, I wouldn't say that much because we did win before the Red Bulls, but we did take a major L against the Red Bulls.
You guys, again, it's rough this year because you guys got, it's hard saying better because it's just Suarez at any moment could say my knee is shot. But you guys have the craziest talent. You guys literally have Barca from like 2015 on your field. And they play like it. I'm with the banter. But you got to call a spade a spade. Like, these players are world class. Tired or not, they're gonna know what to do more than your average MLS player. So you're always gonna have that advantage, always. But your one person that's needed for success, if he's missing,
that guy.
is that guy. If he's missing, everybody has to work, take that load. And then you know what happens? Our defense goes, okay, cool. We don't have to worry about everybody, about this one guy. Let's just actually put two on Suarez right now. Let's deal with this. Let's deal with that. Like team can plan a little bit more spread out when he's not on the field, even though that dude just walks anyways.
Once he has the ball in his feet, it's a wrap. Like he can make shit happen in the blink of an eye.
The fucking chip that he had with I forgot who was it that he did it on, like was it against Nashville?
It was against Nashville, right over him. Yeah.
You chip him with the left. You work around and you come back. Like what? That dude's played in our league. Like that dude's, I'm a fan of Messi, but I'm also not a fan. Like I'm very anti. I'm very pro. Like if you're another team, it's just fuck you guys. Regardless.
Yeah.
So it's fuck Messi for 90 minutes, pretty much.
Yeah. Well, talking about all of that, and you made a couple of predictions. You stand on your business, all right? Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. I do. So let's talk about predictions, though. Right. Mm. And chat, if you guys want to chime in, let us know what your predictions are. Of course, Yusuf from NYCFC Forever Pod is on and he's our guest. So I'm going to allow him to go ahead and give us what his prediction is going to be for this coming Saturday at 7:30. Now, Yusuf, what do you think is going to be the final score on Saturday?
On our episode, I said 1-1, but I was leaning more on actually what Mr. Krabs. I was leaning more on 2-1, but really I think it's 1-1 just because I feel like we can have one. Like give us one.
Yeah.
I literally just want to see us score a goal like consistently. So I say 1-1 conservatively. Well,
And look, it's like you said, you got 2-1 coming out of Soccer Daddy. You got Mr. Krabs saying 2-1. AZ is saying 3-1. Florida Man not holding anything back, saying 10-1. He's wilding. I pray for that kind of game. Is he saying 2-0, 2-1 from the dude? Tank is saying 4-2, send NY City home. Crying with the tails between. I don't know about all that. I do think that we're going to win. I don't know about 4 goals or 10 goals. I do think it's going to be 3-1. That's going to be my prediction. Yeah. I think that we're going to come out of the box scoring, especially since we got really destroyed against the Red Bulls. So I think that if he's cooking, he's cooking up something well because he fucking shit the bed last game. Absolutely. Yeah. And the thing is, I can't take away the fact that, like, you guys have allowed 7 goals in the last 6 games.
Like, we're not a good team right now. This is what it is. Like, we're not a good team, unfortunately.
Yeah, and so go ahead.
No, I'm saying Borgelin, MVP of the squad.
Haitian sensation. They're saying 4-1, and that Borgelin is going to come out the box as the MVP. Look, I mean, I could see 4 goals, but I think that's kind of drastic. And then some people chiming in that Suarez, Alba Taylor.
Campana can't score to save his life.
Oh, man. You guys, let me tell you, there's a thing on our show because there's a lot of people that would love for Campana to really contribute. And we're like, yo, but where's he consistently been contributing? You know?
Nope.
So
Sanchez, one of our coaches, he's Ecuadorian. So he's big on following all Ecuadorians around the world.
And yeah.
Every time Campana, like because we'll watch a match or something or highlights, he'll be like, watch him not score. Watch him not score. Oh,
that's tough.
There was like a missed chance that he had. Was it this year or last year? I forget.
It was against Nashville for the Cup.
He's coming up. I think it was, because I think he's coming up on the right side. He cuts in, shoots it, and it just sails. Like, it's just way off. And mind you, he should have scored this goal. And then I was like, that's when my Sanchez was like, that's all he does. He's like, every time he that's what he does. This is why you don't get called up, because this is what he does. Like,
well, and you're right about that. The thing that a lot of the fan base don't like about him is that he's just mad inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
And so since you're inconsistent, like, they love you when you're good, but then when you're bad, like, it's you're tough.
For too long. I like Robert Taylor, though.
Oh, yeah, Robert Taylor's like, that guy.
I like Robert Taylor. I think he's coming to his own. Where's he from again? He's Scottish
he's from
or something?
He's from Finland. Yeah.
All right, so he's Finnish. Yeah. When he turned it on, what was it? Somewhere in the Leagues Cup last year where he was just – or was it Leagues Cup or in the league? I forget. He kind of like came out of his show and he started like
– Yeah, it was during the Leagues Cup run, yep.
I was like, where does this guy come from? Like, what the fuck? like this dude is looking like – he's looking way, like a completely different person than before the first half of the season.
Well, like, Danny and I have always called him Neymar Light, always, because he's saucy when he has the ball.
Yeah.
So that's a player that we've always wanted to have more time because he's really saucy with the ball and he's really good with the, you know, with the rock. So I think that he's a really good player. And a lot of the fan base love him. They're hoping that he doesn't get sent over to Europe or anything like that. Mm. Now, usually at the end of the podcast, I ask a lot of foolish questions. But before I get to the foolish questions,
I got you.
Guys, I got a question just to finish it off. Do you guys have any sort of pre-game ritual or like during game rituals that you guys do typically?
Yeah. depending on where we're at. So if we're a city, it's typically a tailgate because there's a parking lot. But our quote unquote our normal stuff is from Yankee Stadium. So yeah. I'm from the Bronx, so I grew up around the whole stadium area. I'm not gonna say where it is because it's for reasons, but there is a bodega that is our pre-match spot.
Nice.
So it's one of those if you know kind of places. You only go if you're invited, really. It's a real because it's the neighborhood spot. So
yeah.
It's not really just on game days. Like, we'll be there just because whatever. That's where we'll go there pre-match. So we're drinking, smoking, playing music, dancing, doing whatever. Then we have our march right before the match. It was under the train, under the four line, which buses and trains hate us because the smoke bombs, you know, the smoke always gets past the train. So the trains won't move until the smoke clears. And then the buses just stay there. So, like, I have photos of just the bus drivers, and it's just the march around the bus going around. And then the police are there. They can't do anything. But we're still drinking. So we're like Henny bottles on the street. Just,
that's funny, man.
As the march is going along, we're drinking. We essentially call it a carnaval because River Ave is short. So we have the march, and then it kind of becomes a carnival kind of thing. And then depending on how much time we have left, we either go back to the bodega and keep doing what we were doing, or we go right into the match. The only reason why I say that, depending on the time, is because trying to see if I could be politically correct for once. Probably not. We have a lot of, we call Latino time.
People here call it Cuban time.
So when we set a start that time for something, it might just be a little after that. But for the most part, that's really our vibes, our ritual. We don't, the bodega is a big part of it. It's something we're going to miss going to Queens just because that's a staple within that community. Like, the owners know us. It's our safe haven. It's home.
That's nice, though. It builds a community. It's really good, though.
Yeah. And then the stadium stuff, I mean, like, it's hard having rituals in the stadium when you don't really have a home, you know? Like, exactly. Yankee Stadium has shit ton of rules that we can't do. Like, we can't bring guiras inside the stadium. We can't bring trumpets inside the stadium. You can't really have your face covered all the time because of cameras. Yankee Stadium is very restricting. City is a little bit better with
more open.
Yeah, they're a little bit more open. It's just it's New Yorker shit. Like our rituals is all New Yorker stuff. It's hard to explain it because it's one of those things where it's just I live it every single day. But we try to be as obnoxiously New York as possible. So it's yours every single 5 minutes. It's literally playing, whether it be sometimes DMX in the background getting ready.
Yeah, yeah.
You play DMX, you're ready for war. So stuff like that. Like it's very gritty. Like our ritual is not clean whatsoever, and we like it that way.
That's great.
Yeah.
So, and that's good. That's what makes you guys, that gives you guys the identity. I think that the fact that a lot of cities, they have their own sort of rituals and things that they do, I think it's good to keep it at home. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a really good thing out of you guys. And one of the guys in the chat said that they were going to try to see if they could find the bodega. Well, why you go and try to search for that weirdo?
I'll tell you, I'm going to be honest with you, and this is just fair warning. Like the song. You don't show up. Especially in away colors. That is not the place. Not the place.
Whatsoever. You don't want to do
and
that.
And I'm being this super blunt. This is what it is. That's a blood block. So that block of where we go for the bodega is ran by Bloods. So when we came around, we're all blue, you know, everything is blue. Yeah. Everything is blue. It took a while for them to realize like it's cool. So we told the LAFC this too. They didn't listen and they didn't listen.
They got the business. Yeah.
They didn't get the business. I want to say they didn't get the business because we're pretty cool with some LAFC fans. It's just they thought, you know, this is LAFC year one. They're traveling and traveling deep. They posted up on the corner of, so they blew a smoke bomb and that's just, you don't do that. Not on that block. So you don't do that. So it got a little hectic. We settled it, but it's again, like we don't, it's still New York. I know the league has a lot of, you know, like soccer mom vibes and your stadiums are outside of the city. Like you come to the Bronx as an away fan.
Yeah,
you in the hood. You are legit in the hood. Like you are in the hood. And I don't know if you guys traveled to Orlando. Orlando Stadium is actually right next to the trenches too. I don't know how crazy it could get, but it's also the trenches. But here, you going into, you literally go in the Bronx. You go look up the news right now, and you see what's going on. So that's where we're playing. And it gives the character of the fans, but it's kind of transcend. It's going into the character of the team too now. Because the more and more the team talks to fans, we kind of tell them, like, dude, like, you represent New York. Like, I don't know where, like, either you put an elbow out or I don't know what to do. Like, NYC. Yeah. Like, we have a chant. Like, you were in the hat earlier, but we scream out, NYC ain't nothing to fuck with.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and that's perfect.
When you see scraps on the field, like, people, like, we get hyped. Like, when we see something, if a punch, like, Cushing was going to go fight Insigne. Why not?
Yeah.
And Patrick Vieira fought Jesse Marsh in the tunnel.
People are getting gully over there. Oof.
No, and I mean like legit, like Vieira and Marsh got into it in the tunnel. It's just what it is. Like it is what it is. Like Ethan White told us that story. That was wild. But it's what it is. In New York, we're like Florida, I think you guys got to, I mean, like Dan, I think he's from New York, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Yeah. He used to be a big NYCFC supporter from when you guys started. And then once we got in Miami.
It's what it is, you know, like it's hard to describe it, you know, like in New York it's New York. Like I was telling you before off camera, like when you hear sirens, just remember, I'm in the Bronx.
You're in the Bronx.
It is what it is.
Well, now that we're wrapping it up, I'm going to go ahead and finish off with some of the crazy questions that I asked. Not really crazy, but just a little fun just to get to know you a little better. And some of the guys are already having their own predictions. So I'm just going to slap this on the screen real quick. Here's a sandwich. And you got to cut it one of two ways, right? Do you cut it diagonally or do you cut it vertically?
Diagonally. I don't know vertical. You a madman if you do vertical. That's a diagonal.
Oh, man, you just disappointed a lot of the chat. I saw a ton of people post up that they predicted that you are a vertical cutter.
Man, that's a diagonal. Look at that.
Gakko is saying that you cut the, cut that sandwich vertically. A ton of people are already mentioning that. You
You get the corner. You work your way, like what? Diagonal. Then, it's a classic sandwich cut. When you buy the sandwich holders, right?
Yeah.
Do they come down the middle or do they come in a diagonal cut?
You know what's funny is I've seen those sandwich holders in both ways. I actually cut my sandwich right down the pike. Bang. Middle. I've cut that right down the middle. Now, going to the next question, Stancy is already mentioning saw a girl pulling a cart at Publix and thought of you, Chris.
Ooh, and Publix chicken. Man.
Yeah.
It's Publix fire. Chicken is fire.
So speaking of Publix, when I go grocery shopping, I pull my shopping cart. Okay. And everybody says I'm a weirdo because I don't push my shopping cart. So when you go grocery shopping, do you pull the cart or do you push the cart?
All right. So I push, but I push and like I know something's further up the aisle, and if it's empty, I'm just like
you're just like, launching it.
I launch it, I grab stuff on the way, and then when I get to the cart, I drop it back, and then it's just another launch. Grab and then
He's on the run. I pull my shopping carts because I'm always on the run. I'm pulling it. I'm running.
Yeah.
Look at this. Broward Heron saying that you ghost ride the cart.
I do.
Yeah, it's a good way of describing it for sure. Yeah. So listen, to wrap it up, I appreciate the time. Yusuf, really appreciate you taking the time to join us.
That's fun.
And give the guys in the chat, some information about you guys, where they could find you and what you guys are all about.
Nah, for sure. You can find the tag is NYCFC Forever Pod. That's on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. That's Instagram. The two social medias we're really on. And then we drop episodes on YouTube and on audio platforms Mondays and Fridays. So Monday is really, it's us recapping NYCFC related stuff. And then this year we started this thing where on Fridays, we call it NYCFC versus the world. And so what the world episodes are cool for us because we're going to be talking about the league.
Yeah.
But we're going to shit talk essentially. Like when you're in the classroom and you just cutting ass. We're doing that, but around the league essentially. Like we'll find stuff. We want to talk about the league just because we just wanted to talk about the league and do more work for us. You can find us there Mondays and Fridays on YouTube, NYCFC Forever Podcast. Just three hood ass New Yorkers that like soccer, two Dominicans and an Ecuadorian. So it's random. I will say the vibe is you're hanging out with us. We're not really stat people. We're not going to tell you the ins and outs of the game like that, but we fuck with this league. We fuck with our team, with the sport. And we just like talking about it in our own little way. So by all means, just check it out.
And I'll tell you one thing, kind of like what I told you at the beginning before we started, if there's anybody that's going to be able to sort of enjoy some of the content that you guys do, it's going to be our fan base because they love that we're not so serious. We're very playful and we, try to have fun. So guys, I encourage you guys to check it out for sure. It's good stuff. And other than that, I mean, look, again, Yusuf, much appreciated. Thank you so much for joining. And I'm pretty sure we'll link up at some point again in another episode. But guys, for those of you guys that were in the chat, guys, thank you guys so much for hanging in with us, especially from the jump. For those of you that are listening on audio, guys, You know the deal, 5 stars through Apple, Spotify, all that kind of stuff. And again, those of you in the chat, you guys are awesome. I love this comment that was mentioned that you're going to be injuring some kid with your shopping cart someday. Listen,
I already did that.
If that's the casualty that it takes.
It's already done. Had to apologize like 20 times.
Yeah, you know, fuck it. And Tank, don't worry. Danny's going to come back soon. Guys, for those of you guys in the chat, don't forget, we're going to have our episode in Spanish at 10 o'clock. Well, it's already 10, so you got to give us like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
We're going to be doing the Batter Herons en Español, so just link back up with us in about 10 minutes. We're not going to be doing our episode tomorrow like usual. We're going to do it on Saturday for the post game. So again, guys in the chat, thank you guys so much for hanging in with us. You guys are literally the best part of the show. And guys, I know Danny wasn't here, but we did it. Here we are. Game is at 7:30 on Saturday. And for Yusuf, thank you again so much.
Thank you guys. Thank you for having me, man. This is, like I said, thank you. I know we linked up before through the gram, but we haven't been able to do this. And shout out to the chat. There's going to be some of us down there. I'm not going to be down there this weekend, but, you know, hopefully it's Bantz. I'm going to be honest with you. I just hopefully it's just Bantz the whole time.
Yeah, man, it's going to be a blast. Yeah. And, you know, it was a pleasure. And again, guys, thank you guys so much for hanging in with us. And until the next one, have a good one. Peace.